discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
As Jesus followers, we spend an understandable wealth of time asking the question, how should we live now? Pastor Daniel Fusco says the key is found in the greatest commandment, and he unpacks it in his new book, Upward, Inward, Outward. Love God, love yourself, love others. Daniel is the lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church, with campuses in Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. He's a conference speaker, a jazz musician. He lives in Washington with his wife, Lynn, and their three children. A hearty welcome to you, Pastor, and Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to you too, Ryan.
The one question I think I do have to ask at the top is, being from the Pacific Northwest, is it raining at this very moment?
You know, it might be shocking. It absolutely is. So it rains all winter long. So it's actually beautiful, though. The sun will crack out every once in a while, so we know it's still there. But lots of rain.
Oh, well, and it shows up, too. Man, what a beautiful part of the country that is, so green and lush. You guys really, you have a good thing going there.
We feel blessed. We do.
Now, I can't resist beginning by noting that it's not every day that you get to have a featured guest with this dual bio of pastor and jazz musician. This is legitimately awesome, sir.
You know, I feel blessed. Growing up, I always wanted to be a musician and play music professionally. And so I actually was pursuing it. And in the midst of that journey, that's when Jesus really intervened in my life. And I learned very quickly that music was a gift he had given me, but it wasn't what I was supposed to be pursuing vocationally. And so he called me into the pastoral ministry. But I feel honored because I play a ton of music still, all the time. But I love being a part of the work that God is doing through his church and the church here in the Northwest. I feel honored, really.
Well, it's an amazing work. Do you ever, with that dual skill set, do you ever start, offering the spoken word and then just go ahead and bring the upright bass up as well and break into song in the middle of the service, or do you usually try to keep the two separate?
I try and keep them separate, but we always joke, like in the TV sitcom series Seinfeld, where at the end of a scene, there's like the little bass riff. And I was always like, if I like hit a good point when I'm preaching, just grab an electric bass and do some slap and pop and ding, 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 and everyone will know that that's the end of that point, which I think would be really, really fun, but we haven't done it yet.
When it comes to your journey of faith, you grew up with some religious understanding at home, right? But it didn't really flourish, as you begin to mention there, until college, right?
Yeah, so I grew up in New Jersey, so an all Italian kind of culturally Catholic family. I mean, we were Catholic by culture, but we were really functionally atheistic. We didn't really go to church, or weren't really connected that way. And we had a Bible in the house, but it was never discussed or opened. And so it was really in college. I remember I went to Rutgers University, and I was really surprised. I took a Religions of the Western World class, and the professor there was a reverend doctor, and was making sure that nobody believed in Jesus. And then going into that class not believing in Jesus, I'm like, man, this guy's really making sure no one likes Jesus. I wonder if I should check out Jesus, And then that was the first set of seeds that got planted in my heart that God used to really draw me to himself.
That's really funny. What was it in your study? I mean, do you remember? Was it sort of like a bolt of lightning that suddenly struck and said, wow, this Jesus, this might be who he said it was? Was it a series of relationships and friends, or even more of a process than a moment?
I just really realized I wasn't against anything, but I didn't know what is there a God? If there is a God, I'd like to know that. And so I was really a wide open, I was like a blank slate. And so obviously kind of growing up kind of culturally Catholic, my first inclination was towards kind of the more Eastern religions, just because it was, there was no reference point for it. And I remember I had one friend who I went to high school with, or two friends who had made commitments to follow Jesus. And you know, and I had a professor who also planted some significant seeds in some unique ways and caused me to consider Jesus. And so I actually opened up a Bible and I started reading Matthew's gospel, and I never read this stuff before, you know, and so, and really I was kind of shocked by the Jesus of the scriptures, the Jesus of the gospels, as opposed to kind of the cultural understanding of Jesus that I had, not even from the church, but just from, you know, growing up in America in the 80s. And I was really, you know, the unique, wild, uncompromising Jesus of the gospels, who hung out with people who we were supposed to, everyone else rejected, and the powerful people he spoke truth to. I'm like, I like that guy, you know, like there's something there. And so, and then he really revealed himself to me personally. Wow. In a way that I was born again and that journey began. And it's been an amazing, you know, 20 years of my life since then.
Pastor Daniel Fusco is the lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver, Washington and Portland, Oregon, and the author of Upward, Inward, Outward, Love God, Love Yourself, Love Others. And we're about to dig into the meat of the book, but you mentioned it earlier that we were joking a little bit about it, but you were actually quite skilled at your jazz music. So how did you decide then to stop touring professionally and go into the ministry?
Well, what was amazing is, so I'm living my dream. Since I was a teenager, I wanted to be a professional musician, and I'm on the road, and I'm doing this as a career, and everything's taking off. Like, it's all going great, and I remember I was reading, and I was reading about fasting, and I'd never fasted before, and I didn't even really know what it was. I mean, being all Italian, food's like a love language, so the idea of skipping food didn't make any sense. And so I was talking to my pastor, and I said, hey, what's this deal with fasting? And he started laughing, and he explained it to me. So I'm like, you know what I'll do? I'll fast. So I decided I was going to fast for 48 hours. And I remember I woke up and I was just going to read the word. I didn't have any gigs or any responsibilities. So I was just going to commune with the Lord. And, sure enough, by about lunchtime, my blood sugar was so bad that I was kind of angry. I was hangry, as they say. And I took a nap because I couldn't handle it, 'cause I'd never skipped a meal before.
Sure.
And I remember I woke up from that nap and I began praying, and God really began to speak to me in really unique ways as I was reading the word and as I was journaling and as I was praying. And I felt like the Lord just said, Daniel, I've given you music as a gift, but I have anointed and called you to be a pastor, to the ministry of the word. And it was so clear that I literally, after I finished those 2 days of fasting, I was really praying on that word that I felt like I received. I went into a group that I was playing with, and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be leaving the group. We have, you know, 2 months of gigs lined up. I'm going to fulfill all those commitments, but then I'm going to be leaving the group. And if you find somebody to replace me before, then obviously I'll step off before them, but I want to leave you guys hanging. And I took that step almost immediately, and literally within 3 months, I got taken on staff at the church that I was going to with my pastor there as an intern, and I began to be discipled and apprenticed for ministry there.
Wow. It's an amazing story.
It's a wild journey.
I love it. And I love, too, I mean, I think many of us would have been tempted in that moment where you feel such a clear call, when you're living your dream out like that, to maybe try to pull a Jonah and to maybe say, okay, Lord, I didn't hear you that clearly. But I mean, did that even cross your mind?
Well, yeah, it did. I mean, obviously, when you tell the story and you just give the highlights, but you know, there was a good bit of grappling going on internally, because you know, there's that part of you like, man, I got to be out of my mind. And then you start thinking like, I can never be a pastor. I mean, like, you know, like I didn't grow up in the church. I made so many mistakes and famous mistakes. And I mean, nobody would ever want to, you know, like want me to minister to them. And so you go through all that stuff. And then you also feel like, okay, I've been pursuing music as a career and it's taking off. But ultimately, once I got that word and I started praying through it and sought godly counsel from people, and I just knew that I had an invitation from the Lord, and so I just felt like, okay, I'm just going to take the step and we'll see where this all lands. And God, as always, God is faithful and I'm working on it.
Amen. That's the voice of Pastor Daniel Fusco, lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, and the author of Upward, Inward, Outward, Love God, Love Yourself, Love Others. And we're going to dig into the meat of the book in just a moment. One last question before we do. One of the things that kept appearing and reading about you, Pastor Daniel, this description people have of the way that you teach, which is that you both present your message in a very approachable and understandable way, but that you don't shy away from the truth of God's word in any way at all. It struck me, why is that an important combination for you?
Well, it's important for me because having not grown up in the church, I realize that our culture has become less and less inclined towards the things of God as the generations has continued, and all the statistics tell us that. And so obviously then pastors begin talking about what does it mean to be relevant. And I think, unfortunately, in the name of relevance, lots of preachers have begun to soft pedal the gospel a little bit, where we're unafraid to just say, look, this is confrontational to our culture. And let's talk about why it's confrontational. So part of it is just, you know, being all Italian from New Jersey, kind of a very upfront culture, that I want to explain the gospel to people who have yet to put their faith in Jesus. Like where we are, Crossroads, where I pastor's got 40 years of history. I got to be the successor to an extraordinary founding pastor, Dr. Bill Ritchie, who's our founding pastor here at Crossroads. And so there are people here at Crossroads who've been incredibly well taught. They've been walking with Jesus longer than I've been alive. And we also have people who are exploring, is Jesus even real? Is he a historical figure? And they're doing it with us at Crossroads. And so for me, I want to explain it so that someone who doesn't even know Jesus can understand, and at the same time be able to deepen saints who've been walking with the Lord for a long time. But I don't want to soft pedal the gospel. I want to make sure that when something is challenging, that we say, this is what it says. Because it's God's word, we believe this. But this is why this is confrontational or challenging to our culture, and I try and unpack it both apologetically, and not making excuses for it, but giving a reason why this is so, but also trying to realizing that I'm talking to, you know, especially in the Northwest, a non-Christian environment, and so I don't want to shy over anything, and I want to be willing to say that's a hard word, or that's something that our culture doesn't value, or that's something that we really get challenged by. But it is what it says, and we have to deal with this is who God really is.
Mm. I love that. Well, here it is. How should I live? It's one of those questions that humanity has been asking itself pretty much forever. And as people of faith, we really do believe we have the answer to this question, right? But along the way, it's easy to lose focus or get our priorities jumbled in the chaos of life. So in the book, you tackle it. How does your book simplify the art of living, sir?
Well, you know, the book Upward, Inward, and Outward, I looked at it this way, that, like you said, there's so many options. I mean, we live in a world of decision fatigue. You can do whatever you want to do. You can have it your way. But, like, if you only get one shot at life, and if there's no dress rehearsals for this, every day is your only shot at the day. I'm always looking for big ideas, like simple ideas, that if I get this thing right, I'll get most of it right. And so, sure enough, you know, when they asked Jesus, the greatest person who ever lived, our Lord and Savior, God in flesh, what the greatest commandment was, he answered them. He said, you should love God with all that you are, heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I call that upward, inward, and outward. Loving God is upward. You know, it's that relationship between us and God, or God and us. You know, and then we should love our neighbor as ourselves. So as ourselves is inward. That there's the implication that because of who God is, we have a relationship with ourselves. Some people call it our identity. And then we live outward into the world. And everybody, believer or non-believer, everyone lives upward, inward, and outward. And so our upward, our beliefs about who God is or isn't and who this God may be, drives how we see ourselves. And those, the upward and the inward, drives how we treat other people in the world. And so for me, when they asked Jesus said it's all about having a true relationship with the true and living God, so you return God's love to him upward, and that God's love transforms the way we see ourselves. And so then we learn to love ourselves in a biblical way, not in a way that is destructive, but in a way that God loves us, so we should love ourselves as God does. and then we live outward into the world as the hands and feet of Jesus. And so upward, inward, and outward for me is an all-encompassing way that if I just get that right at every moment, if I live upward, inward, and outward at every moment in line with God's word, then I'm going to get the big things right. And to me, that's the art of living.
Mm. You base all of this in the book, of course, on Jesus' greatest commandment in Mark 12, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. The main rule for living, as you say, then, is a rule about loving. And there is an element that is quite freeing when we accept that truth, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the greatest of these is love. That's what the Apostle Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. And everybody knows that love is the predominant ethic that humans need. Like, no matter what group of people you go in front of, whether you're on a college campus, whether you're at your local gym or coffee shop or at any church, and you say, how many of you think that what the world needs is more love in it? Everybody raises their hand. And so what's amazing is that the art of living is loving, but the love that Jesus is talking about, obviously, is this self-sacrificial love that he displayed for us on the cross, a love that is in it to give and to bless, not just to receive and be cherished. And so, you know, this idea that we're loving in three directions as well. It's about loving God, it's about God's love changing the way we see ourselves, and then it's about loving our neighbor, even if we don't agree with them, even despite them, we love them anyway, because that's the way we've been loved.
Well, you mentioned it twice already, and I could almost not resist asking you about it right up front, but I wanted to get that summary in there first. I was quite taken with your discussion about loving ourselves, because I think it shows up right in the subtitle of the book too, and it's so interesting, because I think a lot of us tend to shy away a little bit from this concept as believers. But why is it so important that you include it in your message?
Well, you know, I'm so grateful that you asked. And for, you know, outside of the church, our culture has so much emphasis on self-love. Like, you got to love yourself as your life depended on it.
Yeah.
But within the church, we shy away from it. And the reason that we do, of course, is because there's some important verses in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, where he tells Timothy that in the last days it's going to be perilous times, because people are going to be lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So within the church, you're like, uh-oh, self-love is a problem. So like if Paul says that, inspired by the Spirit, and then Jesus says that the greatest commandment is you love God and then you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, obviously, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18, those two great commandments in the Mosaic law. You know, so what gives, and really what it is that Jesus told us that because of God's love, we are going to love ourselves. And so the problem with loving ourselves is that unless we love ourselves through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ, our self-love becomes idolatry, self-worship, and entitlement. And in the last days, the problem is people are saying love yourself without loving God, like live inward without living upward. And when you do that, that's what's going on in our world today, is that everyone is self-focused. They're loving themselves without first receiving God's love. And because of that self-focus, the whole thing's broken. But once we live upward first, God's love for us helps us to view ourselves the way he does, with a realism that the cross gives us, both being able to be honest and vulnerable about our failings. That's why we believe in Jesus in the first place, because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we don't have to pretend that we're not failed. We know that we failed, and that's why we believe in Jesus. And at the same time, we can also remember that we're so loved by God, and God's love transforms the way we see ourselves, because you can't treat anybody, you can't give what you don't have. And so it's impossible to love our neighbor unless we treat our neighbor the way we would first want to be treated. You know, that's the golden rule that Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, so in the same way, we have to pass along what we've received, but we need to be a farmer who first partakes of the crops ourselves. And so within the church, we need to let God's love drive us to a Christ and cross-centered identity. And in the book, I talk about how do we cultivate a biblical self-love, not a cultural one that's going to further the problems of our world, but God's transformational love that he has for us through Jesus.
Oh, that's a great word from Pastor Daniel Fusco, the lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver, Washington, in Portland, Oregon, where it is raining, and the author of Upward, Inward, Outward, Love God, Love Yourself, Love Others. You have some great word pictures in this book, and as kind of a word geek, I really appreciated them. One of them is meaning treadmill, the phrase meaning treadmill. First of all, what is that, and how can we tell if we're on it, and do we need to get off of it?
Well, you know, you think about a treadmill, you know, in our day and age, you know, if we're trying to get fit, oftentimes we'll go on a treadmill, and the treadmill, you're running, but you're not going anywhere. You know, and in some ways when you're running on treadmill, that's the point. And so I use the idea of the meaning treadmill because we live in a day and age where everybody has a need for meaning and we're always trying to find meaning. And so even as I look over my life, there's been so many meaning treadmills that I've gotten on, whether when I was younger trying to be the most unique, or when I became a musician, what does it mean to, you know, to be a professional musician? And you put on the accoutrements of this idea of who I am, trying to find meaning. When I was in college, I wanted to be seen as an intellectual. So I carry around big books, you know, and drink black coffee, you know. And if we look over our lives, we've had so many of these. And what the problem with the treadmill is that, one, you don't go anywhere, and two, it's exhausting. And so I make the case in the book, in the section on Upward, Loving God, how do we cultivate that, that we satisfy our need for meaning with worship. Because really, if we're looking for meaning just inward, we completely miss the point of life. So as we declare the worth of the creator and sustainer God of the Bible, that gets us off the meaning treadmill, and we get so occupied different offices, whether we're, you know, radio show hosts or pastors or musicians or husbands or wives or fathers or mothers or single people, but our identity in Christ and who God is now satisfies our need for meaning, that we get off that hamster wheel, that exhausting experience of trying to have meaning apart from God.
Yeah. That's just a great response and very inspiring as well, convicting as well, I think. You know, another thing that you speak to that I found so fascinating was another very countercultural element of this, the necessity of stillness, especially when it comes to understanding the movements of God in our life. Can you speak to that as well?
Sure. And so, you know, it's amazing. We're blessed that we live in a culture where we have so much, so many possibilities. You know, we can have music on, we can have, you know, endless content, media content. We have books galore, all these different ways to connect with people. But all through the Bible, there's this, you know, there's the thread of Sabbath, this idea that in the midst of the busyness of life, that there's we need to be set apart to really have a relationship with God. And so this idea of stillness or solitude becomes such a huge piece. I think it was Abraham Joshua Heschel, the rabbi and civil rights activist, who said that Sabbath reminds us that 6 days this world has our hands, but our soul is reserved for another. And so in a lot of ways, you know, we need to learn how to have these kind of habits of work and rest. We need to find ways to quiet our hearts down because, I mean, we all know the verse that we should be still and know that He is God. And for many people today, we don't know how to be still anymore. We don't know how to be in the presence of God and hear His still small voice in the midst of so much noise and a culture that is kind of built on distraction.
That it is. Well, man, our time has quickly hastened away. What a treat. Pastor Daniel Fusco, the lead pastor of Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, and the author of the new book, Upward, Inward, Outward, Love God, Love Yourself, Love Others. Sir, we do not want to say farewell without giving you a chance. Where's the best place to go to learn more about you, your ministry, and to pick up a copy of this great book?
So great. Well, so the best place to find me is at my website, danielfusco.com. We have all sorts of free resources there for people, and obviously get the book through there or wherever people like to buy books. And also lots of people enjoy and they subscribe to my 2-minute messages that they can get on my YouTube channel, or you can find them on Facebook as well. These Monday through Friday, I do these little two-minute devotions, come out in the morning, just one big idea to bring into your day, and people really enjoy sharing it around. They're also designed for people who love the Lord and know people on their page who don't know the Lord. They share it over, and it ends up becoming a good conversation piece for people. So those are some great ways to connect with me.
Man, and may I say, it really was a treat to speak with you, sir, to get to know a little bit about your incredible story. So thanks again for taking the time, and thanks for writing this great book.
The pleasure is all mine, and God bless you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.